might have.
In other words, the sheriff was referring to that wordage that puts a population requirement on a writ of garnishment. In other words, what he's saying is basically $15 for a writ of garnishment anywhere in the state of Oregon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And just briefly, if you could go to the page 2 and page 3 of the packet are just a couple of letters from private servers. Page 4 is of interest, I think. I put it together so that everybody could see that the last increase was in 1981, but that the relative fee increases, small claims filing fees have gone up 510%. And you have the figures in front of you, so I don't really need to go over them. Also is comparative service fees for 4 different states. And it's drafted there. It's quite simple. It tells you what the fees, for example, in Texas, if you were to serve a summons and complaint within 15 miles, the fee would be $70. We're asking for $25. That's basically it in a nutshell, and I would be happy to answer any questions that the committee has.
Questions?
Let's go on.
Representative Miller.
You said the last increase was 1981?
1981, statute change.
Do you know what the increase was in 19,
yes.
From what to what?
Yes, sir. It went from $12.50 to $15.
And just noticing in the request here, I know we get a lot of associations. Could you tell me a little bit about the Association of Process Servers? How many folks are in your organization?
Well, I'm presently the vice president in this calendar year. We have 22 members, and by that I mean 22 firms. I don't have a head count as to employees. The purpose of the organization is to better the word of process serving as it has been in the past. We'd like to improve the image. We are professionals. We do a good job. There is a need for our service. Not that the sheriff can't perform it, but there are times when a private server is required over a civil sheriff's deputy.
Okay. Just how many folks do you think are impacted by this measure? You say 22 firms are in your
association. Well, that's in our association, sir, but there's there's all kinds of operations that, of course, or firms that are not a member of it. I couldn't begin to guess, because there's one of the things that we will be working for is some form of registration in the state of Oregon at the next meeting, and then I could give you a better idea. But right now, it's just anybody over 18 years of age, and that could be only my guess.
I'm simply trying to get a feel for whether or not most of the servers would think this is a grand idea.
Well, to answer your question, number one, all 22 firms that are within the association do. I could see no reason why the Sheriff's Association feels that certainly they would like to have an increase since 1981, because their cost of operation, they're subsidized by the taxpayers. We are not subsidized. We operate, or we have been operating on a 1981 income for 82 through 87. We are trying to get an increase because obviously our expenses go up, our employee benefits, insurance, automobile expenses. I can't foresee anybody who would not like to have some form of a bonus or an increase, whether it's 2% a year or 5% a year or whatever. It certainly would help.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. We have representative from Willamette Valley Messenger Service, whose name I can't read. Not because it's unpronounceable, but it's...
Signature.
He may be a doctor. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is John Archbold. I am president of Willamette Valley Messenger Service.
Before you do that, I just I understand there are members from Oregon Fair Share here. Am I correct? Well, I wanted to say welcome, but I guess I missed them. Go ahead.
Okay. First, I'd like to apologize to the committee. I do not have my testimony in writing. I just became aware of this bill about 2 days ago, and believe it or not, I've been busy. But I am testifying against it. Points that I would like to bring to the attention of the committee. From my perspective, and I'm only speaking in my on my own behalf, the fee is adequate as it is set right now. I make a comfortable living and a comfortable profit with my corporation. I can see potentially that this, an increase in the fee, could have an adverse effect on my business, deterring some of the my clients or other potential clients from filing more suits, because as is outlined right now in the statute, the fee is to be paid up front. Well, when you've got a lot of money sitting out on the books gaining you no interest, it's fairly costly. I also believe it does create an additional expense to the consumer who already has the burden of the debt plus the filing fees, which was testified that they've gone up 510%. To add even more to it could be devastating to the consumer. All the other points in the bill I do agree with: deleting in advance, deleting the portion regarding Multnomah County, that is a real burden on all of the process servers, determining, you know, where's the county line, where they live, and what do you charge. That's all I have as far as the testimony. I'd be happy to answer any questions that the committee may have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Close the public hearing on 2924. And is Representative Peterson here?
No, she can't be here.
Yeah, I know that Ms. Skillman is here. Lori Skillman. Is Pam Collins here? Pam? Would you like to come forward, please? Now, Council, can you refresh my memory? This is a bill that was borrowed from our committee.
Right.
Can you bring us up to date? Please have a seat.
Okay. Well, the bill was originally, it was assigned to Judiciary, but was borrowed by Housing and Urban Development. And while it was in that committee, they did a lot of work on it, and they sent it back to us with the recommendation that we pass the bill to the floor with the amendments that they worked out. As the bill originally created the Office of Mobile Home Park Ombudsman, as amended by Housing, those amendments are the -4 amendments that you should have. It creates a 2-year position of citizens representative in the Office of the Governor. The purpose of that position is to establish policies and procedures for resolution of mobile home park landlord and tenant disputes. It would establish a pilot program. It basically is kind of a consolidation of various bills that they dealt with.
And the amendments that we're looking at are -4 primarily?
Mm-hmm.
And those are in our packets?
They should be in your packet.
Yep, they are. Just trying to keep up with it.
And I haven't received any other amendments on the bill.
Please note, we've got this for public hearing and possible work session. Welcome.
Hi. I left my stuff downstairs. Did they start? Are you on 2520?
Yes.
For the record, I'm Laurie Skillman. I'm the Committee Administrator for House, Housing, and Urban Development Committee. And I'm here to do three things. One is to give the subcommittee an overview of the things that the Housing and Urban Development Committee did to bring this bill to the state that it is, to discuss with you a little bit about the problems about the cost of the citizens' representative and offer some alternatives to that, and maybe give the committee some ideas on some solutions to the problems that the governor's office and other people have with this particular bill. The Housing and Urban Development Committee has heard a whole number of mobile home bills this session and basically divided all the bills into 5 big categories. One was definitions of mobile homes. Second one was an infill bill for manufactured houses to put them into on residential lots. A third one was relating to zoning and planning for mobile home parks, mandating that cities and counties provide zoning for mobile home parks. There were a couple of other bills. At any rate, and the last category, which is the category that the Citizens Representative 2520 bill was in, was to provide some sort of forum for resolving problems between landlords and tenants in mobile home parks. There were a number of different ideas brought to the committee for this a solution to this problem. And among them was a bill that would establish a mobile home park board composed of mobile home park landlords and tenants and try to bring all these issues before that person, or that board rather. That was going to be costly. That was going to be difficult to implement. Another possibility was to develop a brand new ombudsman under the governor's office. That was going to be complicated, quite expensive, and require extensive statutory language to develop, because there are only three ombudsman positions essentially. There's a citizens representative position that Pam Collins holds, there's a nursing board, and there's a corrections ombudsman. That seemed too complicated. The committee heard lots and lots of testimony talking about the problems with landlords and tenants, talking about California buyers coming in and buying these mobile home parks, talking about sort of absentee landlords, talking about poor management practices. A lot of the representatives on the committee, particularly Representative Burton, Representative Bree and Sides are both here in Salem, and they had a lot of mobile home parks in their area. Representative Peterson came in and testified. She has 1/10 of the mobile home parks in her district in the state of Oregon, and so she hears quite a few of the concerns and complaints from mobile home park tenants. In trying to come to terms with this category of problems, the committee finally came up with establishing an office of citizens representative, and in that office providing some mechanisms for dispute resolution. It seemed to be most prudent to develop just a simple pilot program for a period of 2 years to see how that would work, to see how many problems are really out there that could be resolved in this way. This particular, the bill that's before you, 2520, in the version that it's in, that originally started out as an ombudsman. Now it's citizens representative. It would be in the office of the governor. The pilot program would be fairly limited and be totally limited in scope to whatever that office wanted to set up, and would be also further limited to disputes that involved more than one landlord. More than one tenant problem with a landlord. So individual problems with landlords wouldn't go to a mediation process. I gave legal counsel a staff measure analysis. Did you give that to everyone? Does everyone have a staff measure analysis on 25? Because I have a number of them if you need them. That basically talks about the problems, the function, the purpose, and I thought this would just be a helpful tool for you to use when you look at this.
Does everybody have that?
We just got this.
We do.
Okay, we just got this figure from the Housing Division that there are 1,400 mobile home parks.
Does this staff measure analysis reflect the dash four?
That's correct.
Okay, go ahead.
That's correct. With 50,000 tenants, There are a whole bunch of parks that are currently in industrial commercial areas that are threatened with closure because those parks would be converted to a new use. That problem sort of been addressed in a displacement bill, but it's that there are a lot of reasons for there to be a kind of a tension between landlords and tenants in this area that are unique to landlord-tenant relationships. And part of the thing is that people own they have a big investment in this personal property that's placed on rented space. It's expensive to move those. The figures are, say roughly $1,500 to move a single-wide mobile home to $2,500 to $4,500 to move a double-wide. So you don't just move it if you don't like the park. The vacancy rate in Portland is 3%, so you don't just move it because you want to move someplace different because there's no place to go. So there are a whole bunch of factors that play into this, and some people have complained that, well, if you're going to do a landlord-tenant problem, why not address all landlord-tenant problems? Well, we're focusing on mobile homes, and the committee felt that that was a very unique problem. They heard lots of complaints. I know that Pam Collins is here from the Ombudsman Office, and she says they've got a small handful at the most. Well, I don't think that people understand that that office would exist for that particular purpose, and I don't think that her testimony saying that there's only a handful of complaints reflects the kinds of problems that the committee has certainly heard. I'm just a committee administrator, and I've never been here before January 5th, and I get about 7 phone calls a week saying, well, I've got this, and I said, hey, this isn't my job. I don't know how to help you. Who's your representative? Sounds like a constituent problem. So, I farm those back out to all the representatives. And I think that that's a very difficult way for people to address those problems, so I'm not here to testify in favor of the bill, but that's basically the way the committee looks at that. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to take anything you want.
Why don't you hang on and let Pam speak, and then we'll take questions.
Okay. Sure.
My name's Pam Collins. I'm the citizen's representative. That used to be called the Ombudsman. And I think in 1979 they changed the name to Citizens Representative because they felt that that more accurately reflected what we do in my office. Essentially, we handle complaints, issues, concerns that citizens have, generally about state agencies. I passed out a sheet that showed the workload of my office. To give you some idea of the number of situations that we've been handling since January. I like to call them situations rather than complaints or cases because they are not legal cases. They're more situations that people find themselves in that sort of stop short of needing a legal remedy. Most often it has to do with human relations, where people aren't communicating with other people. Sometimes the state agency is not providing a service it needs to be providing, something like that. As you can see, our workload is increasing. In fact, it's increased considerably in the last 3 months to a point where I'm very hesitant to take on the responsibility that's outlined in House Bill 2520.
As originally printed
and as printed in the second set of amendments. I haven't seen anything beyond that. I do think that it is possible for our office to deal with the complaints that have to do with mobile home parks and tenants of mobile home parks with it stopping short of the legal remedies that were suggested in the first 2 drafts of the bill. I also think that the Housing Division, under its technical assistance requirement, could be helpful to us, to the Governor's Office, in solving these problems. I've met with Representative Burton and Representative Peterson, and I think that they agree with me that we might be able to do the pilot project on a less formal basis than you had described in the first two drafts of the bill.
Madam Chair.
Yes. Representative Bellamy, excuse me.
Do you have any reason for this, the appearance of the significant increase in the number of calls that you're, or responses you're getting compared to what the ombudsman or representative had for TIAs?
I don't really know. I think it has to do with expectation level for this governor, perhaps. I think the television show, Ask the Governor television show that he's doing the first Sunday of every month has caused our business to grow quite a bit. He always gives out our telephone number if you ever watch that program. And even when no one's watching television, thousands of people seem to be watching. I think the visibility of our office is growing. I think it also might have something to do with my personal philosophy of what we're there to do. And that is more akin to the way the Ombudsman's office was handled during the McCall administration with Marco Haggard as the Ombudsman, where that person was there really to be the voice of the citizens and to represent the citizens in disputes and provide a place for citizens to go if they wanted to blow the whistle or remain anonymous to try and settle something at a lower level than having to hire a lawyer and go to court. I have to tell you that although on this sheet you notice that our staff, our paid staff, has four people, that's not absolutely accurate. We also have four full-time interns and about 40 citizen volunteers that are working in our office. And I would imagine that those numbers will grow. We feel that having citizens respond to citizens is a very healthy thing to do.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bauman.
Following up on Representative Bellamy's question, actually following up on your answer, where is your office with all these people?
Well, we have two offices, as a matter of fact, because we deal, our public office is on the second floor. It's the same as the ceremonial office. That's where we deal with visitors that come to see the governor with the problem that they want to have solved. Our real office, our working office, is on the second floor of the executive department, which is, you know, across the park.
Mr. Chair, one other question.
Sure.
Do you break down your situations by subject matter?
Yes, we do. And also, since this is the last day of the month, this is hot off the press, you understand. 1,046 cases this month. Of that number, there are about 500 that are still pending. Mm-hmm. They're not solved yet. They're in the process of being solved.
Not counting the telephone ringing right now.
Right. That's a fixed point in time as of noon today.
And are you going to give that telephone number out to members of the committee? Do we have to watch the TV show?
Oh, no. As a matter of fact, I hope that you'll get it out. Someone suggested the other day, why don't we print a brochure, and I don't think we're quite ready for that yet. But I've been passing out my card to all of the tenants of the mobile home parks, and we are going to send, at Representative Peterson's request, two people down to tour the mobile home parks in the Medford, Jacksonville, Ashland area next Monday and Tuesday. I have to tell you, I am very familiar with the problems of mobile home tenants and mobile home parks. My parents happen to live in a retirement park in a mobile home. My grandparents also live in one. And I believe that the problems have to do mainly with human treatment. And I don't think that the problems in mobile home parks are all that much different than the tenant housing problems that I'm dealing with some of the high-rise, low-income tenant housing. Sometimes I think it's difficult for the people that live in those facilities or live in these parks to deal with the problems themselves because they are afraid of eviction. And if they can call on some outside party to come in this case it would be the governor's office coming in to represent them in a dispute, I think that would be a real helpful thing. I also don't want to get in the practice of handling them bite by bite. I think it's more would be more important for us to deal with them where there are groups of problems that have been expressed in a particular location.
Thank you.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I read these figures right, you're getting an awful lot of more calls than the prior administration. Why do you have apparently so many more problems to handle than were apparent in the past?
I think that it's the way we're running the office.
You're just more visible?
More visible.
Do you have... an ability to cause your staff people to prioritize certain projects?
Yes.
Bear with me, I guess, as I read this staff analysis for what the other committee did, they create a two-year position of citizen representative in your office. Is there a real need for this bill? Can't you do that administratively right now without us saying some blessing with legislation that is of questionable value?
I think there are other ways to do it besides the bill. I think that it has to do with the direction of the legislature. I think that if you all believe that there needs to be a pilot project, that you might want to issue some sort of direction to that effect that would stop short of the bill as it was the last time I saw a draft of it.
We want to make sure you get a copy of the dash form and any other amendments that may be presented.
I also want to tell you that not a large number of these that I have here happen to be mobile home. I think only one that we've had since I've been there has been a mobile home problem.
Total companies.
Mm-hmm. I do think, and there were about 20 last year during the ATIA administration, but I think that may have to do with the tenants not being aware of the fact that the office existed.
Mr. Chairman, given your, I guess, the enhanced public relations effort of your office and your receipt of more input from citizens, and I guess I'll kind of come back to my same point, given that perhaps you have the ability to administratively dedicate more people to certain areas, would it be your feeling that if your office communicated maybe a consistent problem to the governor, that at the end of this two-year period, you would be back in front of us with proposed legislation to remedy the problems? That's exactly
the way my office works. Already this session, we've proposed administrative change as well as legislation based on patterns that we see in the kind of complaints we're getting.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Other questions? Representative Bellamy.
As I read, you have not looked at the Dash 4 amendments. My guess is that the Dash 4 amendments... Do you still have a nursing home ombudsman?
Yes, we do.
Does the nursing home ombudsman have the right to enter and inspect without notice a nursing home? I didn't think so. So I would ask you when you see the Dash 4, I think you're going to see some...
Wait, I need to correct that. Evidently, the nursing home ombudsman can. I need to tell you the relationship between me and the long-term care nursing home ombudsman.
Let me just interrupt. If I could summarize that, because I was materially involved with the creation. That office is separate and apart from yours.
That's right.
And separate and out there, separate... basically from the governor as an independent long-term ombudsman.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine that's not your office is directly under the governor.
That's right. Also, there is a corrections ombudsman position in the statute, but it's never been funded. So there's my office handles the correction ombudsman program.
Ms. Gilman.
Mr. Chair. I spoke with, I'm here sort of representing Representative Burton, who asked me to come and speak. And since the committee passed out these Dash 4 amendments, and have heard some comments from the governor's citizens representative and so on, there are some different ideas that have been passed out. One is that the Housing Committee passed out a bill, House Bill 2514, which is called in our committee the Technical Assistance Bill. And this bill gives the Housing Division authority to develop a housing account. And this housing account funds what's known as technical assistance. There is money in the Housing Division, but they don't have access to it because they're not statutorily allowed to have access to it. This bill gives them access to that money to develop programs, and they would cover things like farm worker housing and so on. And what technical assistance does is helps people fill out the forms to give to the feds to get the big federal dollars in. The thought is to have, because this particular bill would cost between $60,000 and $80,000 to implement for the biennium, is to maybe somehow put it in there with that technical assistance bill, which is already passed out of the House, but somehow draft amendments to 2520 so that it would dovetail that particular bill to use the housing...